Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscay. Yikes. 5 on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to 5 on the Floor. No, this is not Ethan J. Skolnick. No, this is not Leif Sylvander. They weren't available. Leif is at the Hornets game with his family. Ethan is at the Dolphins game that's going on right now, which is why we're trying to do a quick wrap-up, quick post-game pod for you guys after a 116-114 Heat win in Charlotte. It got a little murky there. It looked like they might have had another one of those fourth quarters where we end up talking on the show about how this is a running theme for the season after it was such a strength for them last season. Luckily, they were able to come out with the win, but we're still outscored by 10 in the fourth quarter by a lowly Hornets team missing LaMelo Ball, missing their best player. And obviously the Heat are missing Bam and Tyler, but look, you got a lot of, if you just look at the box score, it looks a lot prettier than I think it did tonight, just because it was kind of a high, a high offense game. When you look at the offensive ratings in the half court and overall, like both teams played pretty games when you just talk about production and efficiency. But it was one where I feel like it, for the Heat, it shouldn't have got to that point in the first place where you need to just kind of eke it out at the end. I feel like there was some mistakes made. But, you know, you look at Jimmy Butler, 23 points, Caleb, 20. Duncan, who we'll get to in a little bit, 24. Jaquez, 18. Love, 19. Like, they're consistently getting a lot from a lot of different guys, and so it's a good thing for them, and that's why it makes it even harder to get to this next segment here with, you know, the Rock Esports Gamer of the Night.
And now on 5 on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention 5 Reasons, it's just $20. So mention 5 Reasons or 5 RSN. You get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
Barry, I want to get to you and stop talking here. But how do you choose between all these nice, cute stat lines from tonight? Like, you really got a lot of them between Jimmy's 23, 4, and 8. You know, a lot of these guys not only gave you scoring, but gave you, like, you know, kind of stat stuffing stat lines. Who stood out to you tonight out of all these guys?
Yeah, it is tough because it's honestly surprising, to your point when you were talking about it. We talked about it before the show, how the stat lines do look this pretty in a game that I don't feel like was pretty at all. Like, I feel like there was just a lot of things that went wrong throughout the game and it was in the mud a little bit. But it was just two bad defenses that felt like going at each other tonight. A Heat bad defense was playing on the floor. And obviously, Charlotte is not a good defense. But I'll say, I think you have to give it to Duncan Robinson. And I know it's the easy thing to say because he had the most points in the team. But you're seeing this stuff where the efficiency is still carrying over. And I know last game that wasn't the case. This isn't a guy you're expecting to be great like this every single game. So you could kind of warrant that, I guess, a little bit. But 8 of 14 shooting and 5 of 9 from 3. And we've talked so much about the stuff inside the arc, which he was doing a lot of in this game, where he was doing some of that stuff when he was getting in the lane. But the big thing to me was the efficiency from 3, where you're seeing him catch on, get back on track in that way. He had a shot in this game that I've never seen him that open in my entire life. Like, just he was sitting in the corner and Kyle found him and there was nobody near him. And that kind of shows just what they were dealing with on this Charlotte team. Like, winning by 2 and squeaking out a win probably isn't the greatest thing in the world. But you're in a position right now with the podcast we've been doing, you need to take every win you can get. You take every single one of these with the mount, with the starters that you're without and all of this stuff. So you'll take it. But I thought Duncan Robinson did good things. I thought he got them on track in their offense. The biggest thing other than the scoring is that thing I mentioned, like they ran an action to begin the game where they kept spamming him off like a little curl with Orlando and it led into a 3. Then the next time they ran it led into him passing to Orlando. Orlando got pulled and it was a foul. And it was like, they just find these little pockets of the game where they find an action for Duncan and just spam it. And when you're in this position where you don't have Tyler, don't have Bam, you don't have all these different players, it's like you have to do that at this point. And having Duncan as that hub is important. So just keep finding ways to get him in a rhythm, I think, is important. And it's kind of another one of those games that kind of logs onto his stat sheet in the season.
I mean, I think at this point, there's no doubt from anybody involved, whether inside the organization or like within like the fans, that Duncan is certified. Like, it's just obvious what he does at this point. And it's like, he's gotten so good at the other things too, that it's just like, it's a guarantee that, you know, that even if the 3 isn't falling at a high level, he's going to give you other stuff. And I think he's just gotten so good at playing off of his own gravity and realizing that, you know, don't ever pick up the ball, just keep it moving. He's always moving. And like when something isn't there, he'll reset and try to go around the screen again and you know, try to create another advantage. And Duncan is just so damn good at knowing when the advantage is there, when it isn't, and when to keep it going. Like, his feel for the game is insane now, mixed with the confidence that he has in his own ability to get to the rim and finish, or to, you know, get into the paint and make the next pass. Like, he's just out there making reads, and he's so comfortable out there that none of this feels fluky. It's not like, oh, Duncan Robinson shooting 60% from 3, and it's none of this feels fluky. Like, he's still an elite shooter, but he's doing all this other stuff, and it's just been so huge for an offense that is still ranked pretty low in the league when it comes to rim attempts and rim field goal percentage. So the stuff that Duncan is doing, getting their offense going, I think is a huge part of, you know, what I was talking about earlier when you just look at the box score stuff, with part of the reason why so many other guys you know, are getting to these good looks is that, like, they're constantly getting the offense moving because of Duncan. So no, I'm not going to, you know, just give all the credit to him, but he has been absolutely just, you know, phenomenal for them. And I think between him, Jaquez, and somebody else who I want to get to here next, like, I think he's been one of those consistent positives for them. And if you see me laughing here out of nowhere, I'm trying to keep it straight, my face straight, because I watched the game with Giancarlo Navas and Pete Beat tonight, and he's over there doing his show at the same time, yelling his ass off. I don't know why, because Kyle Lowry had a bad night. So excuse me if you see me laugh a little bit. But just as far as this game, Brady, I'm going to get into specifics for another player soon, but did you have any main takeaways from this game, just like generalized takeaways?
I mean, it's hard to take main general takeaways from a team that's just not healthy and they just look kind of all over the place. But I mean, the individual stuff I think is important. I think that's important to note. Before we talk about the positives, and I know we're going to get into a certain player, I think number one, the night from Kyle Lowry, as you mentioned, and Josh Richardson, when you have your guard room that we were kind of battling it out between those two, talk about who's going to be the starting point guard, and they're going, what is it, 1 for 13? I think Kyle, it was originally 0 for 12, and then Kyle hit the one late to get them 1 for 13. Like, it's just problematic on nights like this. Like, I think with Josh, I think, you know, that there's going to be a bit of inefficiency throughout the season. But I think that some of the shots you're watching from Kyle specifically is kind of a little all over the place, just the shot diet and stuff, when you feel like he's a guy that should be the one settling your shots and getting you the right shots in your half court. And it felt like it was kind of all over the place. But on the other side of that, because I know that we're going to go to another player in a second, as you mentioned, but Caleb Martin, I think it deserves. He probably was probably my second choice for gamer of the night, just because his consistency, him finding a flow. I thought in the beginning of that game, the way he was putting pressure on the rim, like, it's one thing to say to put pressure on the rim, but he's doing it in so many different ways, and he's doing it with ease. Like, I watch it, he's throwing a dribble combo behind the back. He's at the rim and he's laying it in. He's just bullying people, putting his shoulder down and drawing a foul or getting an and-one. And it's like, okay, he can do that too. But the finishing specifically, and we talked about that a lot this season, his layup packages, he's just been a really good finisher so far this year. So I think in terms of, you know, games like this where you're squeaking out a win and there's not a lot of big-time takeaways, you need guys like that to find their flow. And I feel like this is another one of those games where he's kind of logging that in the fold a little bit. So I thought he was an important player tonight. And the last one I'll say is Orlando Robinson. Like, he's finding himself a little bit of a role here. And I'm not saying, because he did not have a crazy stat line, but some of the stuff he's doing that's kind of jumbled up over the last few games where defensively, like, he's held up in the post and against, like, big players, like, really well. Like, he's been getting blocks on guys where he doesn't even jump. He just uses his body, just gives him as little space as possible, and he's throwing the ball back. And offensively, I feel like he's just playing his role, screening, offensive rebound. He's active on the boards, does all of that little stuff that all Miami wanted in a backup big or somebody to fill in was somebody that doesn't make mistakes and doesn't get in the way of their other players. And he's doing that exactly what they wanted. So I think that's just an important thing to mention.
Yeah, I think Orlando's been pretty solid for them. And yeah, good job on mentioning Caleb. I think he's been, you know, ever since that first Cleveland game a while back, I feel like he really hasn't looked back. Where, you know, not every game has been like A plus or anything like that, but I just feel like he's been generally like very good and has looked more like himself. And especially what you talk about, the finishing, like it's nothing new to any Heat fan. He is the best, most creative finisher on the team, right? Where if you're not necessarily talking about percentage, but more like, you know, who has the most amount of finishes, who can, because the guy is really just there like looking to get up in the air and then figure out how they're contesting to then react and finish. Like he's a natural at that. He's and I'm happy for him, man. And just like taking a quick look at his stats for this season, obviously this is probably not including tonight. Shout out dunksandthrees.com, but like he is back to taking, now he's taking a career high attempts at the rim per 75 possessions, and the number, it's a career high, but the number is just a little bit higher than it was in the first season with the Heat. And I think a lot of that has to do with the role that he was in then and the role he's in now, where obviously he's got a lot more usage now, and that shows in the numbers too. But coming off the bench, and this is something that we've talked about forever, is that he gets to attack the rim a little bit more, whereas even though the lineups with him last year as a starter were positive, he didn't get to show off the finishing quite as much, I feel, when you know, kind of having to defer to some of the other guys in the starters, whereas him just coming in and being a part of these bench units, I feel like he's getting more of a role there. And the usage is way up when you just talk about straight up usage percentage. And you know, he's getting up a lot of shots at the rim, and I think that's what they need from him. And like, you know, you look at that like the what they're getting from him at the rim over the past, whatever it is, like 3 weeks to a month or so. You look at Jaquez, what he's been giving you as far as guys who can get to the rim. Like that's, and Duncan, like as we were just talking about, like these have been huge for their offense. Now I just wish they would convert a little bit more, right? Like another night where they don't convert well at the rim. They've been down this year in the mid range, like percentage wise. The volume is still there, of course. And again, like their threes fall. They shot 43% from tonight from three. They don't take an insane amount, but they've been pretty consistent with that this year, and I feel like that's kind of been getting them through, because I like the process a lot of the times, and I feel like they're getting more into the paint than the past, but the conversion rate just still isn't there. But again, I want to shout out Rocky Sports Center. I don't think I did that before. I let the imaging do the work for me, but shout out to them, the only gaming lounge in Miami. Go check them out. They've got a ton of stuff to offer for you, Rocky Sports. And now I want to get to the A Aggressive Insurance play of the night.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at insurancebylynette.com.
So Brady, like you said earlier, I feel like this is just not like this is not going to be like one of the more memorable games of the season. If you look back on it, like the end made it fun because it was kind
nobody's
of
nobody's remembering this. Nobody.
Yeah, because I'm always somebody who's like I enjoy close games. So then making it close like that, it's always been a conflicting thing with me because like you want the Heat to just close them out and do well, and then our podcast downloads are doing well. But at the same time, I enjoy the chaos of close games, right? I enjoy some stakes in my regular season basketball, spicing it up. So that part of it was kind of fun because I didn't actually feel like they were going to give it up, but you know, it was risky there, right? And again, without Bam and Tyler on the road, like nothing is guaranteed in the NBA. They've lost the Hornets plenty of times before, and they have Ish Smith. So I felt like maybe all the odds were stacked against the Heat tonight. But in all seriousness, what I'm getting to here is there was some clutch plays tonight. And I want to lob you up here because I think there was one that was maybe the most timely of them all.
Yeah, so Brandon Miller hit a three that basically cut the game down to four, 109-105 with 2:30 to go. And it really felt like that was the moment when the tide was really shifting. Like it felt like they were hitting that offensive wall. It was like, what are they going to do next? And they kind of just had Kyle dribbling at the like right, like kind of high up on the right wing where he was just kind of dribbling around. And then he just sends like a rocket over to his left to Kevin Love, who just pulls that thing and he knocks it down and they go up seven. And they kept having those plays, and the Hornets kept answering, but it felt like that one was just kind of the one that was like, for one, it was a big play to put them up in that situation. But it's the fact that down the stretch now, they have to worry about Kevin Love even more so on these pick and pops. And the biggest thing is we just kind of wanted an excuse as well to talk about Kevin Love tonight because we haven't been able to mention him. He's kind of the one guy that I'm like, I walk away from this game about that I'm kind of talking the most about. 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. He's shooting the ball extremely well, and that's not even talking about. That's not even high up on his radar in terms of things that we are usually talking about with him. The rebounding the other night, and these outlet passes, and you know, late in the second quarter to finish the half, he had back to back above the break threes just because they were so worried about the drives, and they just kind of kicked it out. He had two good looks from three, and then he gets it was like a steal of some kind a little before half court. He throws a dart to Caleb on the run, and he dunks it. That's an 8-point run, like. With a snap of a finger, like that quickly. And he's just an energy shifter. Like, it just really seems like the guys are playing really well with him. His connection with Jimmy is just really, really good. And it was funny because I remember last year when they acquired him, we talked about it We're like, this could be an interesting one because Jimmy's good with pick and pop guys. But I didn't think about it from the perspective as much about the way Kevin impacts Jimmy with the way that his passing does. And I'm not even talking about the full court stuff. Like, he had a pass in this game where he threw it over the top to Jimmy, like looped it perfectly over the top at the rim. And it's like, they just have a really good balance with the high-low stuff, with the full court stuff, with the pick and pops. That those two guys just have a really good connection. He's just an energy guy. And you know, the fact that he's in really good shape and the fact that he could play plug and play minutes and play in these different roles and play in these different spots and play at the four next to Orlando if need be, but also play at the five. He's just an easy guy to play with, and he's playing so well right now. The issue is, and this is probably a whole other topic, but is this type of play in December and November going to burn him out for the playoffs? And now they're looking around of who's going to play back up five or whatever when Bam's not in. I guess they'll cross that bridge when they get there. I think in the start of the new year, they need to find games where they're resting Love, and goes back to my Orlando point. I think it makes it pretty easy to rest Kevin Love with the way Orlando's playing. So that'll be something to monitor. But for now, Kevin Love deserves a lot of credit.
No doubt. Shout out to him. Another big night, especially when you're just talking about somebody that you have for essentially the veteran minimum. It's a little bit more than that. Like he got like the 120% raise or whatever. But you know, you talk about like getting value out of guys, and again, not to just look at guys as just like what they make, but you're getting a lot of value out of you know, not only K-Love, but Josh Richardson, who, you know, didn't have a great night tonight, but just that's just more of a general thing. I just think K-Love has been great and has extended like all the goodwill that he earned last season with what he did in the playoff form more than anything, because I thought he was like okay during the regular season after they first acquired him, but there was like they weren't necessarily like winning those minutes, and that was kind of a running thing. And then they ended up needing him for the playoffs and specific, you know, big matchups there ended up being huge. So I was wondering, like, coming into this season, you know, is he going to have a regression year where, you know, he's not going to have the fresh legs anymore? Maybe he's not a full-time starting four. And that just kind of went out the window quick. Like, he went from being a starter to their backup five quick. And now it's just been like, okay, that is the perfect role for him. He is easily their best backup five. Like, there hasn't been a question about it. And then, like, whether you're just talking about, like, what, you know, watching the game, the eye test stuff, like he is hitting the threes, the, you know, the outlet passes that people talk about with him. It's not like some exaggerated thing. Like he just does it every time he grabs a rebound. He is looking, he's a transition player without moving in transition. Like he is finding the guy like a damn quarterback out there. And it's no exaggeration. He just does this stuff. He positionally, he's good. Like he gets in the way and draws charges. Like he's still grabbing rebounds out there. And just looking at his raw stat line ever since Bam got hurt, so including the first Pacers game where Bam got hurt, Love has averaged 12.6 rebounds and 4 assists since then. So nothing crazy, but it's like, you know, he's up in the stat line. He's, you know, doing exactly what you would want to see of him. And that's including tonight's stat line, by the way. Shout out StatMuse. But, you know, doing it on 59% from the field and 48% from three in these five games. Just to give you an example, like the guy's been fantastic. Not only that, like you look at the lineup data, and that's sorry for going on so long here. Just, you know, with Jimmy, they're plus 9.91 net rating. That's per 100 possession. That's fantastic. Also, like you said, without Jimmy, plus 6.49 net rating. So he's just been fantastic for them with and without Jimmy. And I particularly love the pairing, but he's just been a positive overall. I was telling Giancarlo here, like you'd think that him scaling up his role and, you know, would maybe show off some of these warts a little bit more. And it's like, you know, maybe people are not as high on him, but it's been the opposite. Like, he's been great. He's been great. He's been exactly what they need. Like, there's only so much you can do without Bam. It's a big drop-off like we've talked about. But, you know, K-Love's been great. And so that was a clutch three tonight. And shout-out to A Aggressive Insurance. Check out insurancebylinette.com. And shout out to her for always being one of our most active participants, whether in Discord, playback, when we go live, all of that. So shout out to Lynette. I want to end the show with the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you. on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
Okay, so not a lot of new stuff here, right? Bam was still out tonight. Tyler was still out tonight. Haywood Highsmith was out tonight. Kyle Lowry was questionable leading up to this game. Was it his back? Brady, remind me.
Yeah, I think it was back spasms.
Okay, yeah. And he definitely looked more conservative tonight. Don't really want to get into too much injury stuff here because I don't think anything is necessarily too – there's no hot topic here. Like, it's nothing's new here, but just want to shout out Eric Rubenstein, personal injury attorney. Go check out ericrubenstein.com. And I think his Instagram handle is – I'm going to mess it up now. I think Ethan said it in the
– Ask about me, I got you.
Ask about me, I got you. That's what it is. Thank you, Brady. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's really tuned into the Miami local scene. So shout out Eric Rubenstein. But in general, I don't think there's anything new there. I just kind of wanted to get your takeaways on how this team – and this could just be like a quick hitter type of thing on how this team has fared without Bam. Just kind of overall, whether it's defense or just in general, I guess relative to what you thought they'd be without Bam in these five games. And the one last thing I wanted to say about K-Love that I forgot to before that I think is kind of interesting and I'm going to monitor as the season goes on, by the way, another stat that Dunks and Threes produces, and it's one of these catch-all analytics, and I think a lot of people kind of look at it as better than some of the others because it accounts for more things. But essentially, if you just look at his offensive estimated plus-minus and his overall estimated plus-minus, it's kind of right now matching up with two seasons ago for K-Love, which is when he finished runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year behind Tyler Hero. So just impact-wise, K-Love, like these stats are kind of telling you he's more or less at that level. And he's, by the way, giving you a much higher assist percentage and lower turnover percentage in that time. So shout out to K-Love. I just wanted to give you that last morsel of information there because I thought it was kind of interesting that he's, right on track with, that season. But to get back to the point, because it does involve K-Love, how do you think they fared overall without Bam? And without, of course, Tyler and Highsmith as well. It's not just Bam, but just in this kind of these past few games.
Yeah, I'll just stick with this point because I think we've hit on a lot of the individual stuff. I just keep coming back to the point, and we did this podcast where we talked about where they stand without Bam, but it's more so I keep coming back to it, watching more of these games. The point of attack defense really has fallen off a cliff without Bam. And I'm glad you mentioned Highsmith because he is a part of that perimeter defense and point of attack stuff because they obviously put him on a ton of guards. But to the fact that I just didn't expect it to fall apart like this. And I felt like it was going to be more so about the second line of defense. Like it was going to be like we're going to be talking about, well, they're getting picked apart because Love's in a blitz. So they're getting picked apart because Orlando in drop is just getting picked on. It hasn't really been that. Like it's been more so just straight up breakdowns on the perimeter where whether it's Kyle, whether it's Josh, whether it's anybody. And I'm not even talking about specifics. It's like it's happening all over the place. And when you're looking at a Charlotte team, like, yeah, you shouldn't have that problem specifically. Like, I can understand on a night when you look at this roster and say, oh, well, maybe they couldn't score, which they were able to in this game. But when you're able to get, when you're just getting, like, allowing them just to walk into the lane time and time again and making things easy for this type of team, that can catch up to you. So they're lucky they were able to escape. And that's why I said the word escape before, because they just keep having that happen. And the other thing is, which we didn't probably talk about long enough, but I think we're probably sick of talking about it, the fourth quarter collapses continue. Where the numbers in the fourth quarter are just absolutely insane. And it's hard to track because there's nothing that's linear there because, before when they're healthy, they have the lineup at the beginning of the fourth quarter where it's the four bench guys with Bam and then or Orlando with him out. And that lineup's actually been pretty good this season. Like that fourth quarter lineup has been good. And then when they go into that closing mode, it's been problematic. But it's just as a whole, like it just feels like even when you look at the numbers, if we dumb it down to the second half only, it's been bad. Like they just have this different type of energy in that range. So this is going to be a thing we talk about forever. We're going to talk about clutch games. We're going to talk about fourth quarter collapses. We're going to talk about point of attack defense. Even when you think any of that is fixed, it never really is. So that's kind of my main takeaway.
Yeah. And yeah, all that stuff continues, and it's funny because we did that one episode where Ethan asked us if essentially their perimeter guys are Bam merchants, which I thought was a little bit over the top, but I get that he was just kind of being a little bit facetious. But it's, you know, this hasn't done that great for them, like in that aspect of like arguing for them, like, no, they're better than that. Because I do still think that, but I do think like there is a certain degree of like being used to what Bam does for you, and on top of the drop off. Because like these, you know, Kevin, Orlando, Thomas, they're all trying their best. The drop off is what it is. It's ginormous, and anything will back that up. Whether you just watch or whether you look at the stats, it's a huge drop off. But so it's like I feel like it's both things. Like there's a huge drop off, and they're just making more mistakes. And I feel like maybe got a little bit too comfortable with all the different ways that Bam cleans things up, you know, on the backside for them. The other thing, just I did a quick search. For, you know, looking at their half court defense ever since Bam has been out. So obviously only been 5 games. I'm not sure if this includes tonight, but 22nd in half court defense, in half court defensive rating since Bam got hurt. Not good. Not good, I would say. It's supposed to be a defense first team. You know, you knew that there would be some defensive warts popping up without Bam. They've got to fix that, and they've just got to hold it down until he comes back, or at least Haywood Highsmith. Like, they need Haywood Highsmith back too. I think we probably got to include him into the defensive drop off here, because he was, you know, playing really well for them on that end. But anyways, Brady, I've gone on long enough. Shout out to you for coming on. Shout out to Eric Rubenstein. Shout out to insurancebylinette.com and ericrubenstein.com. Shout out to the Rock Esports Center. Look forward to the next watch party, which hasn't been scheduled yet. But I'm thinking the next tournament is going to have more stakes to it. And I think that that'll be unveiled later in the future. Thank you guys for tuning in. There'll be more from us coming in the future. But, you know, we just wanted to get back to this Dolphins game. Thank you for tuning in, and have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.